Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Zion Lutheran Church. My name is Pastor Ted Hoham. I've been here a few times before. Really enjoy being here with you. I'll be helping to fill the vacancy this summer. Very excited to be able to share the summer with you as we receive the good things God gives to us in His Word and Sacrament. God's blessings on your worship. Please join us in singing our opening hymn, number 500, Creator Spirit, by whose aid? Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked,
nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers.
But his delight is in the law of the Lord,
and on his law he meditates day and night.
He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season,
and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers.
The wicked are not so,
but are like chaff that the wind drives away.
Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment,
nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous.
For the Lord knows the way of the righteous,
but the way of the wicked will perish.
Glory be to the
be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Blessed Lord,
since you have crushed all holy scriptures to be written for our learning,
grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life.
Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday after Pentecost is from Ezekiel chapter 17. Thus says the Lord God, I myself will take a sprig from the lofty top of the cedar and will set it out. I will break off from the topmost of its young twigs a tender one, and I myself will plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain height of Israel I will plant it, that it may bear branches and produce fruit and become a noble cedar, and under it will dwell every kind of bird. In the shade of its branches, bird of every sort will nest. And all the trees of the field shall know that I am the Lord. I bring low the high tree, and make high the low tree, dry up the green one, and make the dry tree flourish. I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We know that if the tent, which is our earthly home, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. But what we are is known to God, and I hope it is known also to your conscience. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast about outward appearance and not about what is in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the gospel. Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the fourth chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows, and he knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come." And he said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when sown on the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee.
We confess our faith together using the words of the Nicene Creed found in the back page of your hymn.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried And the third day he rose again, according to the scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated. If there's any children that would like to come forward for the children's sermon, we're now welcome to do so. Well, good morning. How are you doing today? We doing good? Yeah, me too. Yeah. You know what I saw when I drove in today? I saw lots and lots of cornfields. I know it's Indiana and Ohio, and so we have lots of those, but we don't have a lot of them where I live. And so driving through, we saw lots of cornfields, we saw lots of cows, and so I know there's a lot of farmers living out here, which makes me kind of embarrassed to admit this. I am not very good at growing things. I remember we moved into our first house when I became a pastor, and I tried to grow pumpkins in my backyard, and it did not go very well. I dug the patch, I planted the seed, I did everything I was supposed to do, because, right, you know what you have to do to plant a seed? What? What do you have to put the seed in the ground? What do you have to do to it? Do you put water on it?
No.
No? What do you put on it? What's that? Yeah, they're supposed to grow. I mean, I put water on it. I tried to make sure it had sun. I tried to weed. And yet, all I got were lots of crazy vines all over my backyard, and I didn't get any pumpkins. To this day, I still don't know what I did wrong. I'm just not very good at it. My wife's very good at gardening, but I'm not. But that's how it's supposed to work, right? You're supposed to put the seeds in the ground, and then you're supposed to put water on them, and then you make sure that there's sun, and then it's just supposed to grow, right? Now, when you put the seed in the ground, do you have to tell it to grow, or does it do it all by itself? It's supposed to do it all by itself, right? You don't have to say, now you're supposed to sprout. Okay, now you have to form leaves. Now you have to form flowers. Okay, now the bees, you have to go over here. They're supposed to do it all by itself, right? Right? But did you know that's how God works in us, too? Did you know that God helps us grow? What are some ways that God helps us grow? What does God give to us to help us grow? Do we need water to grow?
No.
We do, yeah. Do we need food? What would happen if you didn't have food for a long time? Would you get really hungry? Yeah, I get really hungry when I haven't eaten for a long time. Grandmas are the best, aren't they? Yep. Does grandma feed you lots of cookies? My grandma fed me lots of cookies, too. Yeah, I think those help you grow, too. Yep, grandma cookies are the best.
No. All right,
they're magic kid energy.
Mommy makes cookies.
Mommy makes cookies, too? Oh, my goodness. Yep. But God uses people like our parents and our grandparents to give us food, and then we grow. And then he helps us do that with our faith, too. When we're baptized, he plants a little seed in us, and then we... You what? Yeah, we eat corn too. I like popcorn. Being from Indiana, popcorn's kind of important to us in Indiana. We do a lot of popcorn there. Yep. But we eat food, but God plants a little seed in us in our baptism, and we continue to grow, and as we grow, we trust in him, and he helps us grow up as Christians so that you can be big and strong when you become a grown-up, but you can also be big and strong as a Christian so you can go and tell other people about Jesus, right? And that's what we're supposed to do. All right. Well, will you pray with me? Is that okay? Can you fold your hands? Can you repeat after me? Okay. Say, Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
For helping us grow.
For helping us grow.
By giving us food.
By giving us food.
And by giving us your word.
And by giving us your word.
Help us.
Help us.
tell others about you.
Tell others about you.
So that they can grow too.
So that they can grow too.
In your name.
In your name.
What comes last? Amen. Well, please join us in singing our sermon hymn number 892.
Come, ye thankful people, come, praise the song of harvest home. All be safely gathered in, ere the winter storms begin. God our Maker doth provide. Own temple, come, raise the song of harvest home. All the world is God's own field, fruit unto his praise to yield, wheat and tares together sown, unto joy or sorrow. Shall appear, Lord of harvest, grant that we wholesome grain and pure may be. For the Lord our God shall come and shall take his harvest home. From his field shall in the day away. Give his angels charge at last, in the fire the tares to cast, but the fruitful is to store in his garner evermore. Even so, Lord, quickly come to harvest home. Gather thou thy people in, free from sorrow, free from sin. They're forever purified in thy garner to abide. Come with all thine angels, come, raise the glorious harvest home.
Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, one of the hallmarks of our modern age, I think, is that the age we live in, is that as a whole, we seem to think that we have things pretty well figured out. We've invented the internal combustion engine, we've mastered flight, we've been into space, we're certainly the most technologically advanced people the world has ever seen. And even in terms of things like agriculture, you know, the image that our Lord refers us to in our gospel reading this morning, it's crazy to think how technologically advanced we are. Now, I am no farmer. I said the pumpkin experiment did not go well. But one need only to, you know, that isn't lost on me, rather, that farming, ranching, and the distribution systems that we have are enough to feed a country of 330 million people, and even more than that. We send food all over the world. You read about people across the world who do experience actual starvation, whereas the worst thing that tends to happen here is that the price of beef gets raised, or they don't have my favorite kind of popcorn in stock. Being from Indiana, I'm an Orville Redenbacher purist. This was, safe to say, not the experience of those in Jesus' day. Until very recently, or at least recently in terms of human history, whether you and your family ate was more or less dependent on the weather. You were completely at its mercy. If a season was too wet or too dry, too hot or too cold, food instantly became scarce or non-existent. Food shortages routinely followed flood and drought. Even happens today. And in ancient times, that led oftentimes to outright famine. You can understand then why people in times before ours routinely celebrated the time of the harvest. It was a sign of God's blessing that they'd be able to feed their families through the winter and that they could look forward to, you know, if not overabundance, at least having enough. After all, at the end of the day, that's all we have any business asking for. Enough. Christ commands us not to pray for enough to get us through our entire lifetime or through the year or even through the month, but rather to pray for our daily bread, acknowledging that He daily sees to our needs of body and soul and everything else we need to sustain ourselves in this life. The manna that appeared in the desert, it appeared not once a year or once a week, but it appeared daily, as a reminder that God's mind was always preoccupied with the well-being of His people and that He cares personally about our physical needs. But in our day and age, we've largely seemed to grow past that, other than the occasional rise in prices, although that is not insignificant, or times when the store is out of heirloom tomatoes. We don't really feel as tied to the earth that God created as our forebears did, as beholden to the severity of the seasons, or as reliant on God's mercy for our sustenance as in ages past. And I fear this is a grave mistake. I think the mistake that many in the scientific community make is thinking that just because we can describe something, that means we fully understand it. It turns out that we are never outside of our need for God's provision, nor are we ever truly able in this life to escape the laws and realities of the world that He created. I imagine that congregations like this that lie in a rural part of our country's agricultural heartland can appreciate this more than those who live in the cities or in the suburbs. No matter how far technology advances, we are never more than one bad drought or disruption in the distribution systems from having a real problem on our hands. And so despite how sophisticated we like to think ourselves as people, we are still fully reliant on God's provision of our daily bread and forced to acknowledge along with the Apostle Paul that even though we are the ones planting, sowing, and watering, God is the one providing the growth. We may know what photosynthesis is, but only God can force it to work. In our gospel reading this morning, Jesus uses this reality as an illustration describing the kingdom of God. It is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come. All the farmer does is sow the seed, Jesus says, and then he goes about his business as God provides what he needs and does so in a way beyond the farmer's knowledge. Now we would assume that the farmer, like farmers today, continued to love and tend his field, watering as he is able, removing rocks and weeds, etc. But the fact remains that all of these are just preventative. Nothing he does can force that seed to sprout and to bear fruit. And yet it does, season after season. Water as he might, he can't control the rainfall. He can pull weeds all day, and his grain will still have to contend for space and nutrients. He goes about his work trusting that the seeds will sprout and grow and be ready for the sickle come the harvest. And I think many who work in agriculture understand this, and also I think that's why I don't tend to run into many atheist farmers. But that's the image that Jesus uses to describe the kingdom of God, which, just like the seed sown in the field, is something that ultimately falls completely outside of human control. It is, after all, God's kingdom and not ours. Just as the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, so too everything beyond the earth. If the things that are seen belong to God, how much more so the things that are unseen? We rightly refer to our church buildings as the house of the Lord, and even much more rightly that house that Paul talks about in our epistle reading, that house that is not made by human hands, eternal in the heavens. And so it also follows that if earthly things like sowing seed and gathering the harvest vex us, how much more so heavenly things? After all, it's possible to do everything right in your garden, to till and plant and feed and water, and still be without anything useful come harvest time. Or, as is also often the case, the plant grows and appears healthy, but only produces a small amount of fruit, barely enough to fill a plate, let alone feed a family or sell for profit. Now, from an earthly perspective, we would call this a failure, looking at the small amount of fruit produced and wondering where we went wrong. Did we not tend to the plant enough? Was the soil bad? Was the garden in a place where it couldn't receive enough sunlight? Were we lax in our responsibilities? Possibly. But as I said before, it's possible to do everything right and still not have much to show for it. We all too often bring this same earthly way of thinking into the church. We look at some empty pews, we look at the churches around us shrinking and closing, and we wonder what we're doing wrong. Is our outreach not good enough? Do we not have enough programs to attract young families and children? Why do the kids who grow up in our congregations so often fall away once they leave home? Are we doing something wrong, or maybe not doing something that we should be? Maybe. None of us is immune to being lazy in teaching our children or being unfriendly to church visitors, either intentionally or unintentionally, or any other of the myriad of ways that we routinely fall into sin. And these things are sin, and we need to repent, lest we too find ourselves under judgment. But the fact remains that, like with the seed sown in the field, that we can still do our level best, imperfect as it may be, and we still don't see the kind of spiritual fruit that we would expect. It either seems to be missing altogether, or the result is so paltry that it seems completely inconsistent with the amount of work that we put into it. It's easy to look at the state of the Christian church today and fall into despair, to see the fruit becoming less and less as the weeds work to overtake the field, and wonder if it's even worth the effort. And that's the lesson that Jesus would have us learn, to catch a glimpse of the heavenly realities above and beyond the earthly image of the field that he uses. You see, nothing lives and grows unless God provides for it, whether it be the seeds in the earth or faith in the heart. That's the point that St. Paul is making in 1 Corinthians 3 when he describes the growth of the church of Corinth in this way. He says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. We're called in our earthly vocations to be faithful, especially in our role as fellow workers in God's vineyard. And so make no mistake, there is work to be done in the mission of Christ's church. Jesus isn't telling us to just sit on our laurels and trust that everything will be all right in the end. That's something that lazy workers do. The faithful servant, on the other hand, takes the things his master has given him and puts them to their best use and responds to his master's praise by saying, "We are merely unworthy servants. We have only done our duty." But what Jesus is having us see is that while the tending and watering have been given to us to do, the growth is something that only he can provide. And provide it he does. And in a way that often falls completely outside of our expectations or the way that we would do things. When we plant seeds in the ground, our hope is that it would bring forth healthy plants, produce lots of fruit, and the same goes for the spiritual work that we do in bearing witness to the gospel. The reality, however, is that sometimes it does, and sometimes it doesn't. Often as not, there is fruit, but not in the quantities that we would like. But here again, God sees things in ways that we don't. Whereas we might see a plant that only produces one or two pieces of fruit and be disappointed, God sees each of them as infinitely precious. A human soul that has been won at the price of Jesus' blood, to be loved and tended, and come the harvest to be ushered into the doors of heaven. As Jesus says in our gospel reading this morning about the mustard seed, it sometimes appears so small that we wouldn't naturally ascribe any significance to it. And yet, when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. Such is the kingdom of God. The smallest becomes the greatest. The weak are made strong. The last becomes first. And the few are counted more valuable than all the wealth in all the earth. And so thanks be to God. Thanks be to God who brings forth fruit for the body and fruit for the soul, who gives us all that we need to support this body and life, both here and in the eternal life to come in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. I ask you to please rise as we sing our offertory.
A clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Most High, we give thanks to you that you have planted your holy word among us. Give healthy growth to your church that she may weather the storm winds of this world steadfast in Christ, ever bearing the fruits of love and singing praises to your name. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, your Holy Spirit plants your word and causes it to sprout and grow as it pleases you. Bless the preaching and teaching of your word, that your kingdom may be extended, and give us thankful hearts to marvel at your work. Send faithful laborers into your fields to scatter your seed here and abroad, that in due time a harvest may be reaped for your glory. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, the great I Am, you have spoken. What you have spoken, you will surely do. We implore you for the sake of Christ and your many precious promises to bless and defend our homes, to make the efforts of parents fruitful in teaching of their children, and to preserve them in the saving faith of Jesus. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Father, we are bold to ask for all things because you have given us your Spirit as a guarantee. Hear us as we intercede in Jesus' name for those in every need, especially Margaret, Charlotte, Bernetta, Bill, Gary, Bryston, Joe, Kim, Andrew, Steve, Brandy, Maverick, Heather, Gary, Mark, Michael, Ray, Lane, Dave, Chelsea, Norma, Justin, Sandy, and Pat. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of all mercy, through the abundance of your steadfast love, you gather us into your house and to your supper. Give all who commune this day a holy fear of your wrath and faith in your promises, that they would receive Christ's body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O God, we groan under many burdens in this earthly tent and long to be clothed with your eternal life, which will swallow up all mortal sorrow. Give good courage to your servants to walk by faith and not sight, to mourn our dead in the hope of the resurrection, and to make it our aim to please you while here in the body, until at last we are at home with Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, from whom all fatherhood is named, we give you thanks for earthly fathers. Give them confidence in their station and zeal for their task to care for their families faithfully. Make them examples to their children of godly life and love of your word. Bless their work of bringing up children in the fear and instruction of the Lord, and give them the comfort of your absolution over all their shortcomings. Gather us together with all our fathers to your eternal household, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of thy glory.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, to shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
The Lamb of God that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. O Christ, the Lamb of God that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy.
Bestowed, and when heedless
Please stand. Now may the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in true faith into life everlasting. Go in his joy and in his peace. Amen.
Now let us, thou thy servant, depart in peace according to the word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared.
Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Please remain standing for our closing hymn, number 720.